If you're looking to save some money on your wireless plan, take a look at Visible Wireless. They're a transparent wireless carrier with nothing to hide. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, where you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. One line wireless, just $25 a month with taxes and fees included. That's unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Switch now at Visible.com. You shouldn't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. Like Visible, the wireless company making wireless visible.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is Steve Downs, the voice of Master Chief, Sierra 117, and you're listening to Podcast Unlocked, the world's number one Xbox podcast. Now, finish this fight. Master Chief, out.
Welcome, everybody. It is Podcast Unlocked, episode 512 for September 21st, 2021. You know what that means? The fall season has officially begun, not here in San Francisco, where we're getting our abbreviated little summer. It's a toasty one here today. But games-wise, it's on. This is it. Fall game season. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. I'm joined, as always, by Miranda Sanchez. Hi, Miranda. Welcome back.
Hi. Hello. Thank you. Welcome, everyone.
And then pleased to welcome back a friend of the podcast. You know him from Twitch, Twitter, Neo GameSpark. Hello, my friend.
Hello, hello, hello. It is great to be back on Podcast Unlock. Ryan, Miranda, I feel like I just saw y'all yesterday, but it's been an entire year. And I can speak to the fall season because over here in the East Coast, in New York, it's getting pretty chilly, which fall's my favorite season. But yeah, happy to be back on Unlocked, and it's great to see you guys again.
Likewise. So for how has it been a year already? Did it go by that fast? Now I feel bad that I didn't invite you back on sooner. That's how did that year go by that quickly? Yeah,
can we just talk about the fact that last time I was on, we were getting ready to launch the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series consoles. And now the discussion is, all right, we're moving into PS5 Pro and a new Xbox Series S. I'm like, how? It's only been a year, but it's crazy, man. So much has happened in this time. I still can't believe it, man. The days, it's like that Shrek song. The Shrek song, the days start coming and they don't stop coming. That's life now, bro. That's literally life.
Yeah, that's that. It's true. It's true. Welcome to video game land. That's just, or maybe it's just aging in general. Every day goes by a little quicker. But now, Spark, for since it has been a little while, for our audience that may have missed your first appearance, or just to give a refresher, just give your quick intro, where we can find you, what you're up to, like on Twitch, and kind of your Xbox backgrounds, a couple of your favorite Xbox games. I turn the floor over to you before we get to the news proper this week.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Neo GameSpark. Y'all can call me Neo. Y'all can call me Chris, whatever y'all prefer. I am a content creator here on the interwebs. I've been in the game since, it's so weird because I'm dating myself. I've been making YouTube videos since 2008 when I was in high school. And here I am getting up there close to 30 years old and still haven't lost this passion. Now, as far as the Xbox stuff is concerned, which is how most people became familiar, it all happened last year, as many of y'all know, during quarantine. There was a complete lockdown all across the board. So, of course, what do you do in a lockdown when you have all this free time? You don't complete a video game backlog. What you do is you buy a new console, because that's totally the smartest thing to do. That's not the smartest thing to do. But yeah, so I was interested in picking up an Xbox One because, you know, it'd been a long time since I've gamed with Xbox. The last Xbox game I played was Halo 4, and that was circa 2012, if I remember correctly.
You're correct, yes.
Yeah, so it'd been going on close to 10 years, and, you know, I'd always been interested in getting an Xbox. Every now and then there was a game that I liked, but, you know, you didn't want to buy a console for one game. But I was introduced to the All Access program, and I was like, oh, this is actually pretty dope, man. So I got the One X, and I was just surprised with how great of a machine it was. The speed, the performance, how games looked, I loved it. So I imposed a challenge on myself where I would game exclusively on the 1X for, I believe it was 21 days. And then I did that impressions video, thought nothing of it, went to bed, woke up the next morning. It's at like close to 10,000 views, which I'm okay, cool. And then I get a tweet from Major Nelson saying, oh, great video by Neo GameSpark about his time using the Xbox One X. And I was like, you talking about me? Oh, it's not cool. And then it just spiraled from there. It went crazy. And, you know, to make a long story short, it's been an amazing year just getting in touch with so many new people, growing this community, and just meeting such like stalwarts of the industry like you, like Miranda, and shout out to Destin. He's not here right now. I believe he's is he on paternity?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he's on paternity right now, spending time with the family. So shout out to Destin. You are missed over here. But it's just been fantastic, fantastic. Just this love of gaming and how it's brought everybody together. And it's still going strong over a year on, man.
Excellent. Yeah, love here. So have you've stuck with it now? Or are you truly a multi-platform gamer?
Oh, yes, I am probably sacrilegious on the show, but I'm drinking out of a PlayStation cup right here. But yeah, I'm completely multi-platform. You know, I for the most part, I was primarily PlayStation. PlayStation will always have a place in my heart since I was a kid. But the thing is, as you get older, you realize that there are great experiences everywhere. PlayStation, Nintendo, Xbox, PC. So right now, I mean, I make no type of I don't hide the fact that I love the Series X. You know, it's a dope console. Like, we can sit here and talk about it for days. But yeah, every now and then, if there's a great game that comes out on PlayStation, I'm going to get it. Like, Kena just came out today. And
looks good.
Oof, I'm just this close to pulling the trigger, but with the way my backlog is set up, my wallet does not need any more of that. But yeah, you know, it's just I play games where they come out and I have fun with it. So, yeah.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. We've got plenty to talk about this week. This is, by the way, this is my first show in a new trip around the sun. My birthday was yesterday. So,
happy birthday to the goat. Happy birthday, bro.
I didn't have a birthday game this year. Nothing came out directly on my birthday. The closest thing, we got Diablo 2 Resurrected, which I'm super stoked about because I'm old and Diablo 2 from 20 years ago is one of my favorite games of all time. So that's out. Coming up later this week, which I do want to talk about here in a second. But the thing I wanted to mention was I had completely forgotten this until a kind Twitter follower reminded me of this yesterday on my birthday. And it was number 41 for me, but it was also number 10 for Gears of War 3, which I think it is overall the best of the Gears of War games. Miranda, I'd be kind of curious, you know, you're a resident Gears super fan, your opinion. But yeah, September 20th, 2011. So 10 years since the trilogy ended. There's that. Look at that.
Just playing that. There we go.
In the T. Gears 3, Miranda, what do you remember about that game? How do you feel about it now, like 10 years later?
It's actually been a bit since I've replayed it, which though I do have a replay planned with my twin. I'm very excited to take her through that for the first time. That was, I think, of the Gears games, the one I connected with most of the original trilogy. I liked the first, and the second was fun too, but the third is where it really stuck with me. I think, of course, all the stuff with Dom is great throughout the series, but yeah. Three was what really, I think, felt like just like such a great capstone. Of course, whenever you get these sequels that are building upon each other, of course, they're going to be better over time. At least you hope so. but I think you really definitely felt that with Gears 3. So of the original, that was definitely my favorite.
Neo, have you gone in your Xbox adventures here over the past year? Have you gone back to any of the Gears games, either old or new?
Yeah, so it was the one franchise that I was really excited to check out because, you know, I didn't have an Xbox when Gears 4 and Gears 5 dropped. So I was excited to dive back into those games. So I played through Gears 4, played through Gears 5, and those were solid experiences for the most part. You know, there were some things that I kind of wish they did a little bit better, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But ironically, Gears 3, you know, that was the last one I played back when I had my 360.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because I remember that was my first semester of college. And I'll never forget this because I had ordered the game on Amazon instead of picking it up at a midnight launch like any sane person would do. And I was just sitting there just waiting. I was hoping and praying that it was one of those Amazon orders that you get it at like 8 a.m.
Yes.
And it ended up being one you get at like 9 p.m. because, you know, you just, the world hates me. But it was just such an amazing experience. And I'll never forget this because I remember the caption I put on my Facebook at the time was literally "Brothers to the End." And the entire culmination of that story leading up to the finale, I don't use the word often, but it was honestly epic. Gears 3 is one of my favorite Gears games. And I'm actually really excited to go back and revisit it. I did dabble a bit in Gears 3 when I was trying out xCloud. And
yeah,
this is the craziest thing about this is that I remember I was going through a playthrough on Insane back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I booted it up on xCloud. My save file was right there. And you guys, like, the best way I could describe this is like that scene in Guardians of the Galaxy where Peter Quill plays the awesome mix at the end of the movie and he's just reminded of his mom and just like a single tear comes down. Like, it brought me back to those good times, man. And it's just incredible. Like, congratulations, salute to Epic on that game. And 10 years, man. Oh my God, 10 years. Here we are.
Go ahead, Miranda.
Oh, I was just gonna say it's so fun seeing the gameplay right now. So we're watching it. If you aren't watching, you're listening to watching the Gears 3 gameplay, and exactly what you're saying, Neo, is just like that old, like your heart's a little warm because you remember what was happening there, and you have just like that nostalgia for this old time. I think especially with the context of Gears 4 and 5, like seeing young Marcus just and his crew running around, just like, oh, the old friend, when they were young.
Good times, man. And I still never forget the E3 showcase when they debuted gameplay. I forgot the exact scene, but I remember Marcus woke up, I think after an explosion, and then he just woke up. He was kind of like hazy, and then they start the combat, and then he rushes in, and they saw that you can actually do that motion. I was like, bro, this game is gonna go hard. Oh, good times, man.
It did.
And this to me, you know, Miranda, one and two had their sort of, you know, emotional meathead moments, right? Where you think this is just like a bunch of no net guys running around shooting stuff, but there's some heart to it. But three, for me, it just wrapped up the story arc so wonderfully with all these characters. It was just, Epic did such a tremendous job on this game. And that, I gave it a 10 for OXM back in the day. In fact, a kind Mike, I'll shout out to Mike, who found, because OXM's dead and buried and the website's gone. And the short version is like, unless you have the paper magazines, all that OXM content's pretty much gone.
Oh, man.
Mike found scans of the pages of my Gears 3 review online and sent them to me, and then I posted them.
Dude.
So they're on my Twitter right now, and it brought me back reading that review. I didn't give a lot of 10s at OXM, and I've only given 2 10s in 9 years at IGN. One of the easiest 10s I ever gave. Gears 3, I mean, the campaign was just brilliant start to finish. We talked about the story stuff already, which I won't spoil it for anybody, but boy, it really just paid. There's some real heartstring tugging stuff in Gears 3. Yeah. Versus was better than it had ever been at that point. And Horde
was
so good.
Yes. You have to mention Horde.
3, yes.
Have to.
So, best game that's ever come out on my birthday, September 20th. Shout out to Gears of War 3 that's 10 years old already, which is just fantastic. This week's Podcast Unlocked is brought to you by NordVPN. Hey, if you're watching a lot of sports like me and you hate blackouts, NordVPN is a great way to go. You can use NordVPN, a virtual private network, to watch live sporting events, TV shows, films that aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location to a country that is showing that event. No more blackouts. It's also good for plenty of other stuff like protecting your private data, your bank details, your passwords, your online identity. You can protect your data while you're traveling and using public Wi-Fi. NordVPN protects you wherever you are in the world. NordVPN threat protection also protects you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. NordVPN is also the fastest VPN in the world. No buffering or lagging while you're streaming, and it will stop your ISP bandwidth throttling. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee a month, so that is a super affordable, great way to go. To get the best discount off of your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E. That's nordvpn.com/unlockd, and that'll give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. And best of all, there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. nordvpn.com/unlocked without the E.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get to the news proper. And let's start with a not an unusual occurrence this year, a game delay of a major, major fall title. However, the good news is the delay is not that far. It's Battlefield 2042 that is the victim of the delay this time. Only a 4-week push, though. A game that was supposed to be out in late October on, I believe, the 22nd is now due out on November 19th. I'm not saying I'm done saying a game is coming out on a date. I'm just going to say it's due out because you just never know anymore. But November 19th for Battlefield, in a press release, DICE's GM Oscar Gabrielson cites the ongoing complications with the COVID-19 pandemic. Quote, given the scale and scope of the game, we had hoped our teams would be back in our studios together as we move towards launch. With the ongoing conditions not allowing that to happen safely, and with all the hard work the teams are doing from home, we feel it is important to take the extra time to deliver on the vision of Battlefield 2042 for our players. End quote. So, Neo, are you a Battlefield guy at all? You going to be diving into this one this fall?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited for 2042. Now, full disclosure, I haven't played Battlefield consistently since Part 4. That was the last one I really enjoyed. And then, you know, sometimes you're just in periods in your life where you don't really game competitively. You just want to do single player stuff, co-op. But everything I've seen of 2042 looks pretty solid. Now, that being said, I'm not going to lie. Some of the stuff they've shown off did seem a little spooky. Like, I understand it's pre-alpha. I understand the pandemic working conditions. And, you know, like sometimes when you see a game in beta or alpha and then on release, they look completely different. Yeah. But there was something about this one that even though I liked the gameplay and it looked like Battlefield, except jacked up to 11, It just looked a little rough. The animations were just kind of ugh. But the fact that they delayed it is not the issue. You know, somebody, for the love of God, insert the Shigeru Miyamoto quote here so we can stop seeing it posted everywhere.
Yes.
But something about it, like the fact that they waited this long to delay it when the game, correct me if I'm wrong, it was supposed to come out in a few weeks, right?
Well, I mean, as we're sitting here taping on the 21st, it would have been exactly 1 month away, basically.
Right. So for them to delay it last minute, I mean, I'm not a game developer. I understand that, you know, in a lot of countries in Europe, they had to transition back to work from home. So that definitely did affect their pipeline. It affected the pipeline for Horizon Forbidden West as well. But yeah, I really hope that they can bring it all together at launch because I do like Battlefield. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But I wouldn't be surprised if on release it's definitely got some it's got some growing pains and they got to iron some stuff out. That's what really bothers me.
You know? It's always tough with a large scale multiplayer game, right? Because there's only how much testing can you do? We're going to talk about Halo in a minute and the efforts they're attempting to try and mitigate any
any launch day stuff, but you know, Battlefield's rocking what 128 player matches. So it's yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Now, Miranda, you are definitely a shooter aficionado at IGN. Is, you know, there's no campaign in 2042. Are you tempted to jump out there in multiplayer land and some of these big modes that they've got going on? Or are you going to stick with some of the other shooters that we're going to talk about in a minute this fall?
I've never been a Battlefield person, but my dad is a huge Battlefield person. Like, he still plays. He has like a crew of people that he plays with regularly. I'm just like, yeah, Battlefield for my dad. Woo. That's kind of how I look at it. So sometimes I will dive in just to play with him a little bit. But it's typically not my thing. I don't really, I guess these days, I don't really prefer team competitive games as much for shooters. A lot of times I just go in by myself and just, you know, try to one-man army or just have a fun time with that. Yeah. So Battlefield doesn't really fit that mold for me, but I might try it out. Probably will.
So what you're saying, Miranda, is that you want to be on the top of the leaderboards for your skills, not anybody else in your squad. That's how it is. I respect that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to rely. I don't want to wait for anybody else. I just want to go. Sorry. I think Ryan can know too. When we played, what was it? Extraction?
Oh, Rainbow Six. Yeah.
Yeah, we played Rainbow Six. I was like, all right, let's go. I was like, come on over here.
Like, hurry
I felt
up.
So bad. Yeah, I was really bossy.
Miranda's definitely... She's Commander Sanchez in the game, and she's like, all right, we are moving. She's not one to, there's no stopping to smell the roses. It's like, we are moving on to the next thing. We are going to get this job done. And I'm kind of like, well, what if we did like every secondary thing we could possibly do? And she's like, no, we're moving
That's
on.
That's it. We are taking the objective. That is the objective.
I think with shooters and stuff, I think it's just a different perspective if it's not a solo campaign sort of deal. And if you're timed, I'm like, all right, maybe after we clear everything in the level and we have extra time at the end, we can go back and walk around, like see what's on the writing
flowers.
On these boxes are. Yeah, exactly. Like see what kind of flowers they planted in this level.
Look at the ray tracing on the water.
Yeah, yes. Take a minute to admire. But then, no, I'm just like, let's go.
Just go.
Yeah, so I think that makes it a little bit harder for me sometimes to play these team games if I don't have a willing team.
You definitely got to have the right crew. That's one thing I've definitely learned the older I've gotten, because when I play a lot of these kind of games, you know, sometimes it is you want to go in, you want to have fun. But the older I get, I'm like, all right, I have this limited amount of time to play games. Right. If y'all want to squad up and play this, y'all better know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to say I condone bullying your teammates, but if we all play it together, you got to, like, I ain't trying to see no negatives. I'm not trying to see negatives. That's it. I need at least positive.
Yeah, I'm at the point I can relate to that, to the point where, like, with Halo coming up, which, again, we'll talk about in a few minutes, we got big team battle is in the next multiplayer tech test, which I'm just like jumping out of my own body in excitement for. But I'm totally going to be like, Miranda's going to be the skilled shooter on the battlefield, actually, you know, just taking people down, clearing the way. I'm going to be the one who's like, I'm driving the Warthog. I'm really good at driving the Warthog. I will get you where you need to go. You do the killing and I'll get us from point A to point B.
There we go.
You need a driver.
You need a getaway driver, man. I'm telling you, if my limited time playing GTA Online has taught me something, you got to have a skilled driver. Got to, bro. Got to.
So, all right. So, slight delay to Battlefield 2042, but not, I mean, I think if you'd have not heard the date of November 19th and you would have just heard Battlefield 2042 delayed, you probably would have assumed, oh, it's being pushed into 2022, but thankfully only 4 weeks in this case. So, Neo, to your point, I imagine that they waited to the last minute because they probably were just eyeing the team's progress and going, well, could we push hard to make this? And they decided, you know what, let's, you know, either they weren't going to be able to quite make it and have a polished product, and or they didn't want to push the team as, you know, humans that far. So good on them for taking the extra time. And what this does is it spaces things out just a little bit in the fall, because as I was putting the show together this week, I realized, at which you've already, you know, you've seen the headline of the show, this fall is FPS heaven, which is I'm so happy, because first person shooter genre is my favorite genre in gaming. Here's what the rest of 2021 looks like just for first person shooters. So, and I know all of these are not necessarily quite apples and oranges. I had some, I posted something like this on Twitter, and a couple of people were, had really weird takes on it. Like, what? How are they the same? Like, well, they're both first person shooters. But anyway, you've got, it starts off on October 7th, which is 2 weeks out. I mean, that's like two and a half weeks from now. October 7th, Far Cry 6. Then the next week, not a lot of time there, we go right to Back for Blood, which I feel like was getting a lot of hype, what, last year? And
yeah,
I feel like the hype on that's kind of tailed off a bit, which I think it's going to be, if it's anything like the alpha I played a year ago, that game's going to be excellent. It's also launching into Game Pass, which hold on to that thought for a second. November 5th, so we get a nice little cushion there, a nice little gap from Back for Blood to Call of Duty Vanguard, which Miranda has already given some very less than enthusiastic multiplayer beta impressions of. Of course, we'll see how the full game turns out. Then the 19th, you've got 2 more weeks till Battlefield 2042, and then you've got another 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks until Halo Infinite. Also, obviously, Xbox Game Pass. So that is a lot of first-person shooter action this fall, which makes me very, very happy. And Neil, I want to come back to you first on this because you were talking at the top of the show about you're looking at Kena: Bridge of Spirits on PS5. That's a next-gen exclusive release, and like, hey, that game looks really cool, but. And you've got the other eye on your wallet and your backlog going, maybe I'll wait on that. So as we look at this just row of shooters coming out this fall, I'm curious if those couple of games, Back for Blood and Halo, being on Game Pass, on how that impacts which of these games you're going to play or and slash buy.
Well, honestly, I mean, the fact that two out of those four games you listed being on Game Pass, that's like Christmas to me, first and foremost. Like, both of those games, even if I wasn't as interested in both of them, because full disclosure, like, I'm really excited for Back for Blood. I grew up playing Left 4 Dead, Left 4 Dead 2. I don't even want to disclose how many hours, but it's definitely in the close to 1,000.
It's a point of pride. There's no shame there. That's
oh,
pride.
No shame at all, man. But it's like, I've been wanting a type of game to hit that particular, like, scratch that itch. And unfortunately, we really haven't gotten anything. We've gotten things that are similar to it, but not to the same degree. But I played Back for Blood last year. I played the alpha and I enjoyed what I saw, like, when it was able to run, because it wasn't running that great. But then I got into the beta this year and I was having fun with it. Now, I look at these games very differently than most. Like, these are the type of games that I turn on, I play, I squad up with my boys, and it's like the game we play after work. We throw back a few drinks and all that stuff and we have fun with it. But to your point, Ryan, what you were saying, how there was all this hype and it somehow just diminished, I did notice that a lot, and it was when there was that open beta. I guess a lot of people had a different impression about this game than they thought it was going to be. And I can understand that to some extent, like, people's expectations and all that. But I always like to wait for the full release to see how it is. So I'm excited for this game. And I mean, Halo Infinite, same thing. I mean, I was already going to buy Halo Infinite day one, but it being on Game Pass, it just takes that out of the equation. So we're down to two. Far Cry 6.
Three. And three in there. Far Cry, Call of Duty, and Battlefield are the other three.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, it's really packed. All right, so Far Cry 6, how do I say this
without... That sounds like a no.
I just, not to discredit anybody. You like what you like. Who am I to judge? But yeah, I'm the type of person where I play one Ubisoft game a generation and I'm good, chief.
Yep.
One a generation. That's
a generation. It used to be different. Well, okay, I should say different. Like, all right, if it's something like Rainbow Six Siege, that's a little different. But if we're talking the Assassin's Creeds, the Far Cries,
Ghost Recon,
everything that's like cut from the same cloth. I know they got their differences, but man, it's just every time I try to boot them up, it just takes me out. So Far Cry 6, it has its fans, and I'm happy for you guys. It looks exciting having Giancarlo Esposito. That's going to be great. I'm going to ignore that. And then we got Call of Duty and Battlefield. Now, Battlefield is going to be the only one I purchase. You know, I have no qualms with it not having a campaign, because I'm going to be real, with the exception of Bad Company 2, I don't remember much of the Battlefield campaigns, to be honest.
Nobody does.
Yeah, but according to the internet, it not having a campaign is make or break, supposedly. We'll see. But yeah, so I'm excited for Battlefield. Call of Duty, on the other hand, I was kind of hoping this was going to be the one to bring me back into Call of Duty. Because, like, I'm not even going to lie, like, sometimes I enjoy the Call of Duty games that a lot of people aren't into. You know, like, there's always that cycle. Like, everyone loves a Call of Duty game, then they hate it. Yeah. Then they say it's an underrated gem.
Except but for Ghost. Nobody liked that one.
Oh, nobody likes Ghost.
No, nobody. You know, the day I see somebody, if I start seeing the video essay about why Call of Duty Ghosts is an underrated gem, that is something I want to watch. I just want to see.
I'd be curious to see what they found in that.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Call of Duty, you know, like every couple of years I pick up one. The last one I bought myself was Black Ops 3. I had a lot of fun with that. But ever since then, Call of Duty's just been zombies for me. Like I said, I go back to those type of game modes. You know, me and the boys, we squad up, we get together. We've been playing zombies since 2008. So it's
beginning, man.
Yeah. OG, yeah, since the OG, man. So I was excited. Like, all right, maybe if this Call of Duty game has got like a dope zombies mode, we'll see how it is. But man, just everything I see about this game, and I'm really interested if you can disclose some of it on the show, Miranda. What did you think about that beta? Because everything I looked, I'm gonna be nice, but it did not look like it was hitting.
I was like, Nia, don't ask me about this again. I talked about this a little bit previously, so I didn't actually play the beta. I only played the press beta kind of thing, so it's essentially the beta, but there's a few other things in the beta. I honestly just did not want to go back to it, so I did not want to waste my time playing something I'm having a lot of fun with. World War II. I don't know. I'm just a little tired of it. I think for me, I'll probably play Call of Duty's campaign because I do have a friend. I always have to disclose this. It's really important for me to disclose these sorts of things. I do have a friend who's on the narrative team. So I'm kind of curious about that to see how they are trying to pull together these four stories. That's very unusual for me. I'm always like a multiplayer first person shooter kind of person for things like Call of Duty. So the fact that I'm so disenchanted with the multiplayer already is not ideal for me, but
not a good look.
That's fine because we have Halo this year and that's what I care about. Like, that's just what I want. And that's why I'm actually really bummed that's out in December, because I'm like, man, I want it sooner. But at the same time, that means I could spend all December on Halo. So, you know,
there you go.
That'll be good.
Yeah. For me, I think I've talked about this on Unlocked before, but I have a weird relationship with Far Cry where I think I'm going to like it every time. I want to like it every time. Three is still, that's the only one I've finished. Far Cry 3 is the only one I've actually played all the way through. 4 just felt like 3.5, and I put a few hours in. Again, none of them are bad games. I'm not saying that at all, but it just, 4 didn't hold my interest. Primal, I played a couple hours of at a preview event and felt like, yep, I don't need to play any more of this when it ultimately comes out. I mean, like, Blood Dragon was interesting just as a weird, like, 1980s futuristic kind of thing. But as far as the mainline ones go, 5, I don't know, just 5 didn't grab me. Again, it's that thing where I almost can't even quantify it. It just didn't hook me. And now 6, like, yes, Giancarlo Esposito going to be a great villain continuing. And that's Far Cry's thing, is to have a cool, sinister villain. But I don't know. I cannot work up a lot of enthusiasm for it.
I can encapsulate your thoughts, Ryan.
Yeah.
And like I said, no discredit to anyone involved in the making of it, and no discredit to anyone who likes these games. But when I look at Far Cry, the franchise as it is now, it just seems like busy work, the franchise. Like, you open this map, you've got 50 million things to do.
Yep.
And it literally seems as if this is a franchise where if you look at the back of the box, you know, back when we used to go to the stores and look at the back to see how cool it was, it just seems like they're trying to pad it with, 50 million quests here, and here's that, and here's that. And for some people out there, and this is one thing I've noticed with like the recent Assassin's Creed games, is they've engaged more in online live service stuff, trying to be like an MMO, a lot of people do like getting engrossed in a world that has a lot of busy work, because even if the story might not be great, even if the quest might not be that engaging, but it's the fact that you have all of these things and it's something for you to clear. And just the way that they've been leaning into the Assassin's Creed live service franchise, and now they've got, what is it, Assassin's Creed Infinity?
It seems
like it's working out for a lot of people, man. Like, Valhalla was the highest selling game in the franchise, to my knowledge. So it just seems like a lot of people like this busy work stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a preference thing, but I think generally this is, you know, nothing is totally, you know, one side or the other. There's always a scale of this, but I do feel like, generally speaking, older gamers, which I'm now heading into, I just, like, at least speaking for me, I want just the pure quality over quantity. Quantity does not move the needle for me. If it's 6 hours long, but it's fantastic, I'm all over that. I will spend $60 on that. You know, I have no problem with that. But when it's 60 hours and it's filled with busy work, that's where I kind of look at that and go, I don't really want to spend 60 hours with this, doing these somewhat menial tasks in a lot of the cases of these side quests. So, yeah, I think, Neo, you kind of hit on it for me a little bit there. And I just want to get down to the just mainline. Just give me the good stuff and cut out the rest. But I know for a lot of people, that quantity matters a lot, because they feel like they're getting a lot for their money. There's a lot of game there to consume, and it's, you know, they're spending their $60 and getting 60 hours out of it. And that's totally great. But yeah, for me, I'm more of just a mainline campaign. Show me the best thing you've got in this game. And that's the part of it I want to play. So I might dabble a little in Far Cry 6. I mean, it's my job, of course, to do so. But I'm not optimistic that this is going to be the Far Cry. This will be the first one since 3 that I actually finish. I have very little optimism about that. But we'll see. For me, of this list, Halo, of course, which we're going to talk more about in a second, that's number one by a country mile. Call of Duty, I'm gonna at least start the campaign. Those are short. Those are 5-6 hours.
You can finish.
I will
those
probably
in the day.
Finish the campaign. I think I finished every campaign except Ghosts.
Wow.
I've played every Call of Duty campaign. I've got to do it. And then I got 2 hours or 3 hours into Ghosts, and I was like, this is bad.
You wanna
Why
know
am I doing this?
Really
and I,
funny.
And I walked.
Yeah,
yeah, I think controller down left.
I've completed every single campaign in the entire franchise,
Ryan,
except for
Call of Duty Ghosts is my first Call of Duty campaign.
It's amazing you still like the series.
So, because you're like, wait, Miranda, weren't you playing Call of Duty before that? Yes, but I only played the multiplayer, because that's all I cared about from Call of Duty. So yeah. I think I dabbled in like Modern Warfare 2's campaign. And I just more so to get a feel for the weapons than anything. And then I was like, I don't want to play this. And then I just went to the multiplayer.
I think what we need is we gotta create like a Patreon stretch goal to get Ryan to not only play, but stream all of COD Ghosts. We have to see your face when you do this, bro. Like, I'll pre-order that stream.
Yeah. We'll do it for charity. We'll hook for like Child's Play or something. I'll do it. I'll do it if there's a good cause behind it, for sure. Yeah, but
there we go.
Anyway, so I don't know how this turned into like the dunk on Ghosts, Call of Duty Ghosts episode, but
the dunk on Call of Duty Ghosts and Ubisoft at the same time.
Anyway, Back for Blood's the other one that I'm ready. It's
yes.
Like you, Neo, so many great memories from Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. And so sad that Valve chose not to continue the series and keep it moving. And Back for Blood, it absolutely transparently is that. I mean, it's the same. It's the original development team, Turtle Rock, who had, you know, they had joined Valve and become Valve South, and then they split off from Valve and went back on their own as Turtle Rock. So, I mean, it is Left 4 Dead 3, and that makes me extremely happy. So for me, it's going to be Back 4 Blood, the Vanguard campaign, because that'll be nice and short, and then just all in, like Miranda, on Infinite come December 8th, and you will never, there will be, like, you might as well just delete every other game off of my Xbox.
I thought you were about to say, and you will never hear from me for the rest of the year. That's what it was sounding like. Maybe. Both of y'all, like, you were getting excited. Miranda had that smile. The second you say Halo, she's like, oh, yes.
I mean, this is, of course, all contingent on the campaign not disappointing us, which we don't know. You know, this is a, we'll see. But at least the multiplayer, all indications are that multiplayer is going to be good. Yeah. And that's what I want to talk about next, which is that second Halo Infinite multiplayer test flight. It is this weekend, but it's also next weekend. That was the cool news we got from 343 this week. So it's running this weekend from the 23rd to the 26th. So I'm going to clear my entire Thursday schedule and just play Halo if I can. I won't be able to because I have a job to do, but that's okay. The 23rd to the 26th. And then next weekend as well, September 30th to October 3rd. Now, the tests will not be open for PvP multiplayer during the entire time of those weekends. They want you to do the bots, the training academy stuff. Their goal is to try and stress the hell out of the servers, and thus they're funneling everybody into a short window. So you've got 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time, Friday through Sunday, both weekends, as well as 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific. So you can do your own time zone conversion on that. We live in the Pacific time zone. West Coast is best coast. Sorry. So, yes, that's when the actual PvP will be live. But, you know, if you've got training mode, you've got weapon drills, you've got customization, that's all there. Now, Friday, mark your calendar, this Friday, the 24th, 10 a.m., 4v4 Arena will be available. And then it's going to be, I have to wait a little extra time. It's going to be that second weekend, second beta test is going to be the Arena and 12v12 big team battle, the largest big team battle that we've ever had in Halo. So, Miranda, A, are we playing together? And B, which of these components are you most excited to jump into?
Yes, for one. Or A, you could call it A. And then for B, I know I said this last time too, that I'm really excited to get back into weapon drills, which I know sounds really boring, but it's because I had so much fun. Seriously, y'all, if you got some time, just pop on a podcast, pop on an audiobook, your favorite music, just head into weapon drills. Go play with some weapons you've never thought you would want to use and get a feel for them, because it will really help you learn how to play Halo in a different way. Like I said, I got converted to doing shooting from the hip. Never do that. And now I'm like, I don't want to aim automatically every time.
No aim for Miranda?
It's a miracle. There's some weapons that just don't need it. And I think that's the idea with the weapon drills too, is that you are being forced to try to achieve like this certain point level, and you can only get it if you're using that weapon with the most efficiency. So that's what it really teaches you to do. It's like, hey, maybe what you're doing or how you're playing this isn't efficient enough. So as you try to like reconfigure how you're playing, that's when you can learn how to like play with weapon better. And honestly, I know, it's very weird to like geek out over that, but I loved it so much and I'm really excited to do that again. It's just a nice quiet time. It's very therapeutic. Highly recommend. But aside from that, I'm of course excited for Big Team Battle. Like, it's, how could you not be?
Can I be your Warthog driver?
Yes, of course. Please. I'd be honored.
Excellent. Love it. Now, Neo, we on Unlocked here, we have our little Unlocked bubble. We talk to each other all the time, and we've talked ad nauseum about Infinite and about how we feel about it, both campaign, multiplayer. I mean, we're talking about multiplayer here with this tech stress test coming up. Where are you, just generally speaking, with Infinite and everything it's gone through? It's been 6 years since Halo 5. It's been over a year since Craig last year. Where are you kind of overall? Where's your hype level for Infinite right now, both campaign and multiplayer?
Well, my hype level right now is actually a -0 because we haven't seen anything of Craig in an entire year. So 343, I want to know what's going on with that first and foremost. But no, in all seriousness, I'm very excited about Halo Infinite, asterisk included, just given the recent announcements they've made in regards to modes not being at launch. You know, that is kind of a bummer because I was looking forward to diving into like co-op campaign. That was going to be the first thing that me and the crew did. And then now that it's not there, I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world, but definitely does shine another light on 343 as far as the development is concerned with this game. I mean, 6 years. Wow. But, you know, talking about the positives, the multiplayer looks really solid, man. And if there is something that they need to nail more than anything, it's got to be the online. Obviously, the campaign is just as important to a Halo experience. People talk about that, the lore ad nauseum for years. It's a big reason why a lot of people play. But that multiplayer is why everybody keeps coming back. And everything I've seen from the first flight, which I didn't participate in because I kind of resigned myself to waiting until the game was out because I wanted to see it in its full glory on display. Yeah. But now I might have to go back on my words with this second flight because I did get the invite for it. And
you got to jump in. Come on.
I know. The fact that they have the big team battle, it's calling my name, man. I'll have to go back on my word of just waiting till launch. But yeah, everything from the multiplayer perspective looks very rock solid. I'm liking a lot of the subtle changes and the tweaks that they're making. And just, I mean, as always, the transparency from 343 as far as this is concerned is just fantastic. So I'm really hoping that come December, the multiplayer fires on all cylinders. But more than anything, I do want to see more of the campaign because, like, it's great. We're seeing the multiplayer. That's been the focus since June. But the campaign's been MIA since that first unveiling. I mean, we had that little thing at E3 that the cutscene, but we haven't gotten any type of gameplay whatsoever. And I mean, I'm not going to regurgitate what y'all have probably already discussed before, but I think there is going to be a big fundamental shift in what the campaign is because, you know, they brought in Joseph Staten. And I think the reason why we haven't seen it is because they're waiting till literally the last minute to show this different version because, you know, if anything, you'd want to show the campaign to prove people like, hey, look, our game looks so much better than it did the first time. But the fact that they hadn't leads me to believe that there is something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But as always, you know, just developing a game during a pandemic, it's a struggle for everybody. So the fact that they're launching this game as is, it should be commended. And I mean, I just wish them all the best on a rock solid launch, man. So.
All I want to do, I'm just looking over at my monitor. All I want to do is just watch this.
I know. I can see your eyes glancing over just like that.
I'm just zoning out. And, oh, by the way, this, again, because the audience knows this, I didn't get to play in the first test. So this map, bizarre. This looks like a really good map. Mm-hmm. This looks super
fun. This was great. Yeah, I was genuinely impressed with the maps that we played in the first test. So really quickly, for our audio listeners out there, we were watching Halo multiplayer.
Oh, it looks so good
on screen right now. It's very engaging.
As fantastic as Halo 5 multiplayer was, and we've talked about that for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
My one probably chief complaint about it is I feel like it didn't really have great maps because Halo has such a history of having just not just good multiplayer maps, great maps, maps where I can say Lockout, I can say The Pit. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you instantly like smile on the inside or on the outside. So that's where I'm hoping that Halo Infinite can step up its game a little bit. But this, Bizarre looks really good. All right, we're running out of time. I want to do one more story here, and it is Yakuza related. This is a game. I feel like Yakuza is having its moment right now in the West, specifically even in the Xbox community. I mean, we saw the day one launch title as a at least a next gen exclusive before it later came to PS5, and it was already on current gen, but that was with Yakuza Like a Dragon. So Yakuza has become a real big deal in the West. It's already a really respected franchise. So we got some news on it here. Chinese developer and publisher NetEase is reportedly in final negotiations with Yakuza's creator, Toshihiro Nagoshi, to hire him away from Sega, where he has been since 1989. That is an incredible run, and it's, as of now, still going. But according to a report from Bloomberg, at NetEase, Negoshi would be expected to build a new team and develop brand new games for the company, though the final contract and any details about his job role have yet to be set in stone. As Tokyo-based analyst Serkan Toto of Kantan Games put it to Bloomberg, companies like NetEase and Tencent are especially interested in acquiring Japanese talent to accomplish these goals. Quote, Tencent and NetEase have been speaking to just about all publicly traded studios here and are actively courting some privately held developers too. They both feel pressure to make headway in Japan, especially since game regulations in their home market, China, are becoming increasingly restrictive, Toto said. So Yakuza is clearly, it's one of the best things that Sega has going right now. I would think this would be a big blow to them. Neo, are you, I know you're a big JRPG guy. Is Yakuza up your alley?
Let me tell you. where is it? I got my Yakuza 6 go. Collector's Edition down there. I got the shot glasses up here. I'm a big fan of this franchise. We've been playing it for over 10 years. I love it. And the fact that it's getting the recognition that it rightfully deserves, it makes me happy. This story, though, I'm kind of conflicted on it for a number of reasons, but not the reason folks expect. When you hear about this, the creator of Yakuza going to NetEase, a lot of people think that means it spells doom and gloom for the franchise. But what a lot of people don't realize is that Negoshi hasn't been, a lot of people, they look at him, they think, oh, he's directing all the games in the franchise. He hasn't directed a Yakuza game, to my knowledge, since Yakuza 5. Now, someone might want to fact check me in the comments, but he's been serving more as a producer capacity. And then as time progressed, Sega gave him more responsibilities within the actual company. So it's not like he was just the producer on Yakuza. He was doing a lot of things for a bunch of other franchises. So he's moved more to the higher, like overseeing things just to make sure that it's good. But the people who are making the Yakuza games and, of course, Judgment as well, they're still involved in the company, like all the directors, all the writers, all that stuff. Negoshi's just moved into more of an executive capacity, which I know, depending on the country, it's different. Like when you talk about an executive producer over here in the States on a movie versus Japan, it could mean completely different things. But I mean, on the one hand, maybe it is time for him, because being at one company for 30 years, and even though he's done so much, from Super Monkey Ball to Binary Domain, the Yakuza franchise, like honestly, he's carried this company on his back for the longest time, because obviously, Sega does not know what they want to do with Sonic. But outside of Sonic, their biggest franchise that they have, at least in terms of like commercial gamers, is Yakuza. And there's so much love with the franchise. So for him to leave at the height of this franchise's rise, it makes me feel some type of way as a gamer. But I'm a gamer. He's a creator. And if he feels as if like it's time to move on and do something else with another company, with what I assume, just based off of all the Chinese money floating around, a pretty high budget, maybe that's something he wants to do. And I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully it works out for him. But I think most people don't really have to worry much about this franchise, because if Sega is smart, they'll just let it run business as usual, just focus on creating great games. Because the thing about the Yakuza franchise, a lot of people don't realize, is that even though it's popular now, it's still very niche. Like the amount of people who would know about Yakuza outside of our circle is very small. So this organic growth that it's had as a series, Sega should be looking at that not as, oh, well, we have Yakuza, we could just pump out any game, that'd be fine. No. What they're doing, what they're working on, keep it and let it run. Just give them whatever funding they need, give them whatever wishes they need. And we're starting to see that with Lost Judgment, for example.
Right.
That's a game from Ryuga Gotoku Studios. Comes out this week, but it's so significant because that's the first time they've ever done a simultaneous global launch. And as the games have progressed, they've gotten shorter and shorter that window, but never to the degree where we have a Yakuza universe game launching day and date. So if Sega was smart, they'll just not try to tamper with that. But we'll see where this goes from here.
Well, Miranda, I'm curious your thoughts as well. But before I go to you, before the internet can even fact check you. I have done so.
Oh, there we go.
You know you're Yakuza for sure.
Ah, look at that.
Five was indeed the last one that he actually directed, and he's been executive director. So yeah, again, more of a kind of an oversight role since then. So you are let no one doubt your series knowledge here. Well done. So yeah, thank Miranda, you. Where are you with this? Do you see this as the start of a trend of this, you know, these very deep pocketed Chinese companies coming in and trying to hire talent? Are you concerned about the future of this very now beloved franchise?
Yes, I think it's really interesting to see these Chinese companies trying to get these game developers, because as you mentioned previously, China is really cracking down on different sort of mandates in terms of relating to games, like how often kids can play and how many hours. I think I would need to double check this as well, and I should have, but I didn't want to type loud. Whether or not they're allowing new games to release in China, like there's a lot of limitations there as far as what they can and can't release. And I know mobile gaming is really huge. So if you actually look at NetEase's portfolio, it's a lot of mobile games. Like all their hot games, all mobile games. They look kind of similar to things that you've maybe seen in other games. So that's kind of just like what they do. So I could see them wanting to maybe hire somebody who does have a lot of experience and talent and can develop something new for them. As far as Yakuza goes, I actually haven't gotten to play them. They have been on my list for a long time, and they're probably something eventually, as I've sort of done for a long time for me, streaming them eventually, just because it's like a good way to get up on that backlog. I know Max Govel is a huge fan of the Yakuza games, and so that's kind of where I've been learning, because he has this great guide on like which games should you start with first, because there are so many, and they have their own continuity, of course, too. So I think they're really creative. They're so fun. I love seeing the gifts and everything from them. But as we've just heard in this conversation, I don't think it's necessarily too scary for the future of those games for Sega if he gets pulled away. Like, yes, you're losing someone who's pretty critical to there, but obviously he's not the only person designing this game, right?
Right.
He's not the only creative mind behind it. So it's not like you would lose everything if you just lose one person. So if anything, it could be kind of exciting, because maybe he goes on to make something completely different, or like with similar ideas and like fun, I guess. I don't know. Yakuza is just very fun. It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah. I previewed creative. It was one of the first games that I had for the Series X in the, mm-hmm. when they sent us the preview units of the hardware. And I had never played a Yakuza game before. And I definitely found it very charming and appealing. I was like, this is. It's an RPG with just a very different vibe and attitude, and the fact that it's, you know, totally modern day. I liked a lot of it. It was really enjoyable. So
Like a Dragon is I did not expect to love that game as much as I did, because, you know, I've been playing these games for such a long time. And the thing about the Yakuza franchise, which Miranda, whenever you do get down to playing them, you'll come to understand. They're definitely more AA in a lot of respects. So they reuse a lot of assets, and that was because of the development time and everything. Now they've obviously changed some things a bit, but the thing about Like a Dragon and why it's so fresh is, like you said, Ryan, it's set in a modern day. It's a Japanese RPG in a modern day. We do not get those often, especially one that's done to such a crazy good degree as this. And it features adult characters, which is my biggest, because I know there's this big stigma going around with JRPGs. Some people don't like them because, oh, they're just too high fantasy, or they just have a bunch of annoying kids, and I totally get that. But I always implore people, especially because it's on Game Pass, try Like a Dragon. Yeah. Like this, the story in it, the juxtaposition of the goofiness, and it's still, you can still take it seriously. Like, bro, there were moments towards the end of the game, no spoilers, but I legit was ready to shed tears, man. It's they put their heart and soul into this game, man.
And you'll laugh too. Like there were hilarious moments. Like,
it's ridiculous, man.
Just finding, I ran into this guy on the street who needed help with something, and it ended up like with the two of us in diapers, like in,
oh yeah,
in adult. Yeah, it was yeah. It's
It goes places.
It gets weird. It gets weird, yeah. in the funniest of ways. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that story. We'll see what happens. All right. We are about out of time this week, but so I'm going to skip loot box. But I just want to implore everybody, send in your loot box questions, because most weeks when we do this, you can be featured on Unlocked. I would love to feature you. So just tweet on video, tweet your question at me. I'm at DMC underscore Ryan. And just your open Xbox question to the panel, and we will do another one, I promise, on next week's podcast. But I do quickly want to do the trivia while Neo's here, because see if he can get on the board, and we'll see if Miranda can widen her lead over Destin in the process as we keep score all year long in anticipation of presenting the trivia winner for the year gets an actual trophy made by a member of the Unlocked community. This week's question is a good one. I know this one, and I know Miranda has been playing a lot of Remedy games, so we'll see how she does, and then we'll see where Neo's at with this one too. Jonathan from Scotland asks, which band is featured on the end credits for Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne, which is pretty old at this point. Now, I'm going to give you a hint. I'm going to throw in an extra hint here because Max Payne 2 is pretty old, like me, pretty old. This band has been in multiple Remedy games, so okay. there is a relationship there. So is it The Rasmus? Is it Poets of the Fall? Is it 30 Seconds to Mars, or is it Bjork? Sort of curious. If Miranda, is anything popping into your head from recent? Okay, she knows. Neo, I'm going to go your way here. I don't know if you're up on your Remedy catalog or not, but if not, you can just guess.
Okay, no, I'm not up on my Remedy catalog of knowing the songs. I've played the games, but the songs just didn't stick to me. I know it's not 30 Seconds to Mars. I just know that off the top of my head. So it's literally going to be Russian Roulette right now.
That's usually me every week, so.
Yeah, take a shot.
Good to be in good company. All right. I'm not Bjork. Even though it does sound like an outlier, could be, but I'm gonna say you said it was Poet of the Fall.
Poets of the Fall and The Rasmus were the other two choices.
I'm gonna go Poets of the Fall. Okay. I don't know why, but it just sticks.
All right. Miranda?
Poets of the Fall.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Hey, there we go.
Poets of the Fall.
Thank you, Jonathan.
By the way, that song that's on the Max Payne 2 end credits is called Late Goodbye. I think it is a phenomenal song. I actually, back at the time, I went and found it and I downloaded it. Great song, cool band. And yes, Miranda, do you remember where they are in Alan Wake, since you just rolled through that game?
Yes. Yes, I do. I know where they are. They also know where they are in Control. Poets of the Fall is everywhere with Remedy. I didn't actually know they also use them with Max Payne 2, so I haven't gotten to play the Max Payne games, and I'm very excited to get to those eventually. That's cool.
You're gonna have a good time with Max Payne. Those hold up. They are tremendous.
Good.
All right, Jonathan from Scotland. Good job. I will update the scoreboard here as soon as we go off the air. Good job, Miranda and Neo as well. And with that, we come to the end of Unlocked 512. Neo, again, where can everybody find you on Twitch, on social media, and we'll follow along with all of your gaming exploits?
Of course. So this is actually going to be pretty easy. All of my social media outlets, for the most part, are Neo GameSpark. So my YouTube channel is youtube.com/NeoGameSpark. Same thing for my Twitter. That's where I frolic the most if y'all want to get my spicy hot takes. And my Twitch account, which I'm getting back into streaming on there after an extended hiatus, is twitch.tv/NGSTheStreamer. But yeah, that's where I congregate. Again, Ryan, Miranda, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to be among such great people. And just because I know he's probably going to say it in 30 seconds, Ryan, you are indeed old, because the podcast didn't hear that by now. But yeah, you guys, thank you so much for having me on, and it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Miranda, what are you up to?
Well, I just got back from a short little vacation to go see family, so right now I'm just catching up on everything. But the biggest thing I would say is don't forget IGN guides. We have a lot of really great guides for a ton of games coming out right now, and we're very hard on them, so please check out our guides. And you can follow me at HavocGrows, and that's Havoc with a K, all around the internet.
Sounds good. And I'm at DMC_Ryan on Twitter. And with that, we will say goodbye. For Neo GameSpark, Miranda, and Super Producer Red, I'm Ryan. This was Unlocked 512, and we'll see you again next week.
Hi, it's Jennifer, a founder of the Go Kid Go Network. Do your kids love wacky worlds, superheroes, and inventing? Of course they do. That's why our shows Bobby Wonder and Lucy Wow are set in Pflugerville, the nonstop fun and adventure universe where imagination, creativity, STEM, and positive role models abound. Join the Pflugerville fun by searching for Bobby Wonder and Lucy Wow on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.